Mark 15:34. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which translated, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord. Just bless the hearts of us and the wisdom, and give us the heart. Prepare ourselves, Lord, as we hear the fourth verse. And just be with me and accept all my words. In your name I pray. Amen. Sunday school teacher was discussing the Ten Commandments with her 5- and 6-year-olds. After explaining the commandments, honor thy father and mother, she asked, is there a commandment that teaches us how to treat our brothers and sisters? Without missing a beat, one little boy answered, thou shalt not kill. A wise man once said, I like Christ. I do not like Christians. Your Christians are so unlike Christ. Does anyone know who said that? That's right, Mahatma Gandhi. On January 30th, 1949, Mahatma Gandhi was shot. Another man said, I am profitable engaged in reading the Bible. Take all of this book upon reason that you can, and the balance by faith, that you will live and die a better man. Now, does anyone know that quote? He was our 16th president of the United States, Abraham Lincoln. April 15, 1865, Abraham Lincoln was shot. Lastly, I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creeds. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that my 4 little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, by the content of their character. Now we all know who said that. Who said that right there? Martin Luther King. And on April 4th, 1968, he was shot. Just picking these 3 guys and examining how much they went through every single day. We saw Mahatma Gandhi fighting peace for India. We saw Abraham Lincoln fighting peace for slavery. And we saw Martin Luther King fighting peace and freedom for the blacks. Their life was short. Today we celebrate a life that was short as well. At the age of 32, 33, Jesus Christ was crucified. Yesterday, we celebrated the Last Supper. We celebrated what he told his disciples. Today, on the cross, he said 7 verses, just 7 verses, and then we cherish that for the rest of our lives. We heard in the first verse, God forgive them, for they do not know what they did. The second verse, he actually had a conversation. While he was dying on the cross, he was having a conversation with one of the prisoners. Truly, you will meet me in paradise. Then he looked down and says, behold, this is your mother, and this is your son. And today, right now, the fourth verse we come to, my God, why have you forsaken me? Sometimes during life, we feel abandoned by one loved one. We also experience feelings that accompany abandonment, such as feelings of disappointment, discouragement, or being down in the dumps sadness. Those feelings may become more intense feelings such as anger, even rage. Let me illustrate. For example, I have a sister. Okay. When I was young growing up, I was around my sister a lot of time. We were 9 years apart. When she had to go to college, it was just I felt abandoned. It was really hard for me because I felt like no one was at home for me. I felt deserted. As time has gone by, I found many of the young people, especially my friends, had similar feelings. So for the people who has older brothers and sisters in this church, things are tough at your house. You may feel like they have deserted you. Another example, and I love this example, it's we all came from India, or you guys all migrated from India to come here. You left your family who raised you up, your friends who spent time with you, and when you were leaving, you saw your mother or father or friends waving to you, giving you kisses. In their hearts, they're feeling abandoned, that their children or friend is leaving them. Yeah, we could call them up on Vonage every single day, or we could buy a ticket and go to India every single day. But the agony and pain, how do others feel? They feel that they have deserted them, abandoned them. We also do feel this abandoned by God. This happens in life, especially when disasters happen to you personally. And for example, this is a very common example, is from the Old Testament. That when King David wrote in Psalms 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Words from King David. His words continue, why are you so far from saving me, Lord? Why are you so far from my groaning? Why do I cry out to you, but you do not answer? King David had these feelings in his heart that God had forsaken him, abandoned him, deserted him. Why? Because King David did have some events in his life where he was feeling deserted. Another example that we see in the Old Testament is Job. Job experienced many personal disasters. He lost his farm, lost his animals, basically lost everything. He felt that God had abandoned him, deserted him. But King David and Job felt that God deserted both of them. Not only do people in the Bible face disasters, but we also face disasters in our life as well. For example, let's take 9/11. As the second plane crashed into the tower, thousands of people were looking up and shouting, my God, what is happening? Where are you? What is going on here? An enormous, horrific disaster. People felt abandoned, deserted, and being forsaken by God. They were overwhelmed with feeling sadness, confusion, anger, rage at what they saw. When we see other going through this pain, but Jesus experienced for us, just think before Jesus was on the cross. He was an innocent man. He was sinless, selfish, never greedy, never disobedient to his parents. Furthermore, every minute of every day, he loved God with all his heart, soul, mind, strength, love. His neighbors as himself. And when we come to the cross where Jesus was dying on our sins, there on the ground, you had soldiers who were betting for his clothes, who had the high priest, as you read, Mark 15, 29 and 32. And those passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads and saying, who are you going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days? Save yourself. Come down from the cross. In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes, were mocking him among themselves, saying, he has saved others. He cannot save himself. Let this Christ, the King of Israel, now come down from the cross so that he may see and believe. And those who were crucified with him were casting the same insult at him. But then in a loud voice, Jesus screamed out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? If you look at my God, why have you forsaken me? Has anyone ever broke that down? And this is my view of what each word means. Let's take the first word, my. Jesus, in the depth of his sorrows, refers to God as my God. Through all darkness, through all the pain and sufferings, he holds on what he knows is true. God is God. The relationship is still there. Take the next word, God. When we suffer, when we are tempted to reject God, we are tempted to think that there's nothing there, or he doesn't even care, or he's not able to do anything for us. But Jesus done none of that. Take the next one. Have you forsaken me? Here's a contrast. My God, the one who loves me, is all powerful, has abandoned me, has deserted me. Take the next word, me. He has deserted his son, the one who he loves, the one to whom he said, "This is my beloved son, with him I am well pleased." And I saved the last one for last. Why? Why has this loving, all-powerful God deserted the one who pleases him? When we read in Isaiah 53, verse 10, answers this question, but raises another, "The Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to the grief." It pleased God to crush his son? It pleased God to abandon him? To make him suffer? All of this is no. Jesus knew exactly what would happen to him. He had predicted it. He knew what would take place. I'm a big sports guy. You all know that. The big sport that I like is basketball. When you play 46 minutes, and there's 12 minutes in each quarter, and there's four quarters, and you play 46 minutes, and you're doing an unbelievable job, and then a coach pulls you out and says, "I'm subbing you in for another guy." You have an are asking, "Why are you pulling me out, coach?" "Because I'm doing an unbelievable job." Coach is like, "I see you look tired." Jesus had to be tired carrying that cross around. When we see this is a substitution. Jesus was taking the place of sinners, our place. When it comes to the cross, we are no innocent bystanders. It's our sin that are nailing Jesus to the cross, hanging him there and killing him. Although Jesus was facing punishment physically, but we also see he was facing punishment inside as well. Jesus on the cross was bearing the punishment for all the sins of all he redeemed people. I want you to think about this. He bare all the pain and suffering that we deserve, all the punishment of the eternity in hell for thousands of millions of people. So God the Father lays on God the Son's punishment for all the sins for all those who were saved. As we read in John, it tells us God is the light, and in him he is no darkness at all. But now there is darkness in God the Son. And he lives out in 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him with no sin, but to be sin for us. So God the Father must turn away from darkness. He poured forth his wrath on darkness. Jesus is forsaken, abandoned, and deserted. But not only Jesus' suffering and death is in God's plan, but God's plan was result in his glory. After seeing all of this, we might think if we were in that position, we would disobey God. We would be asking him a lot of questions. But in this situation, your Son of God said, "I was showing so much obedience to his own Father." In the time of Jesus' sharpest grief and greatest pain, he went to God's Word. When we were struggling in pain, the last thing we want to do is to go to God's Word. Yet Jesus did. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is called obedience. When we look in Psalms 22, in which Jesus was obeying, verse 1, it says, my God, why have you forsaken me? I mean, why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning?" Verse 14, it continues, "I am proud, out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a posture. My tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stared at me. They divide my garments among them. And for my clothes, they cast lots." David wrote this psalm thousands of years before Jesus perfectly described what Jesus went through. And yet, seems so dark with no hope. But then, continues on verse 19. "But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from my sword, my precious life, from the power of dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of wild oxen. You have answered me. I will declare your name to be my brethren. In the midst of assembly, I will praise you." So Jesus hasn't lost any faith. He was trusting the resurrection that God will not leave him dead, but he would rescue and deliver him. It continues on verse 23. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All the offerings of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the afflictions of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard, my praise shall be to you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear. So Jesus was saying all that plan to do was to save the people, and all that I promised to do for their salvation. I will fulfill my vows, and I will stay the course, and it continues on to end the chapter. The poor shall eat to be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of nations shall worship before you. This kingdom is the Lord, and he rules over the nation. All prosperous of the earth shall eat in worship. All those who go down to the dust shall bow before him. Even he cannot keep himself alive. A prosperity shall serve him. It will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to the people who will be born that he has done this. By quoting Psalms 22 on the cross, Jesus wasn't losing his faith. He was actually declaring it. He has done this, what he was doing, so at the ends of the earth. All the families of the nations might believe and might be saved. And again, this is obedience. Not just obedience of life, but for death. When you look at Adam, obedience meant life, but he disobeyed, just like how we do. For Jesus, obedience meant death, but he still obeyed. So this suffering is an incredible punishment, will result in all families of nations worshiping God. This event will be told to God's glory forever and ever. This is why God is pleased to crush his son. He is acting for his own glory. He's fulfilling the plan of redemption promised to Eve in the garden, promised to Abraham at his calling. So Jesus cries out with great agony as he experienced God's hatred for sin. Yet he knows the purpose of it all. He has faith in God in the midst of his suffering, knowing that God will use this event for the glory of his name. So God's justice is perfect. Because Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because he was forsaken, not on the cross, and we will never be forsaken if we trust in him. God can accept you. He can be true in his righteousness character, love you as your own precious child.